Good afternoon. This is the Finance, Facilities, and Operations Committee of the Northern Illinois University Board of Trustees. My name is John Butler, and I'm the chair of this committee. The first thing that we do is we call the roll, and the recording secretary for this committee is Vicki Ripberger. Good afternoon, Ms. Ripberger.
Good afternoon.
Will you please call the roll?
Sure. Trustee Robert Boy? Here. Trustee Wheeler Coleman? Here. Trustee Robert Marshall? Here. Trustee Sherilyn Muir? Here. Trustee Raquel Chavez? Board Chair Mark Strauss? Here. Committee Chair John Butler?
Here.
Thank you.
Mr. Blakemore, would you please verify that appropriate notification of this meeting was provided and there's a quorum?
Mr. Chair, there is a quorum and appropriate notice pursuant to the Illinois Open Meetings Act has been made.
We have an agenda before us. May I have a motion to approve that agenda?
So moved.
There's a motion and there is a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the agenda is approved. We have minutes from the May 28th, 2015 meeting of this committee. May I have a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved. Second.
There's a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Only one person's in favor of the approving the minutes? It's not gonna work. We're not. Okay, all right. I'm gonna record the committee is unanimous on the minutes.
There's so much details in the minutes.
Okay, all right. Thank you. Now's the time for the committee chair's comments and announcements. I would like to begin by welcoming the members of the University Advisory Council who are present this afternoon. They are Deborah Hallitzer, Holly Nicholson, Greg Wass, Rebecca Shortbridge, and Dan Gibo. My understanding is that Professor Shortbridge, I didn't say Greg Long. I'm sorry, Greg Long. I have him written right here. And I see him right there.
Introduce Rebecca and
Holly. Okay. So my understanding is that Professor Shortbridge is assigned to the committee. Is there anything that you wish to say to the committee? And then anyone else in the UAC may address us as well.
Good afternoon. I just want to comment that I hope that in the budget discussions that we continue to provide support for graduate students as they are really important to the university and the faculty and to their research missions. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I think Holly has a comment as well.
Okay.
Good afternoon. I'm happy to be joining you today. I'm the Operating Staff Counsel for NIU, and I was looking at the report on page 50. It was notable how many faculty, staff, and civil service members are taking advantage of the tuition waiver. And so I wanted to reiterate, as president of Operating Staff Council, how important those tuition waivers are to my constituency. And they are using this to get degrees and advanced degrees that they may not otherwise have the opportunity to do. And so I wanted to go on record and ask that the university consider this when looking at the budget and try to preserve these tuition waivers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Nicholson, Dr. Wass, anything to say to the committee? Long.
I don't think Dr. Wass is going to say much, but
my apologies.
Dr. Long will, and he's fine with that.
You know that I know you. We went out to lunch. We know each other.
I know, exactly. It's the awkwardness of these kinds of meetings.
Sorry.
And the only point that I would make, and certainly from the faculty standpoint, we appreciate the budgetary crisis we're facing, and I have a good sense that we want to work together and collaborate. I would just encourage that as we move forward on this, that there be some discussion or at least some promotion of faculty salary, because that's been something that we've not received any increases for several years, and that hurts us in terms of the merit system, because merit is how we differentiate who gets more, who gets less, and who does a better job. And without a raise and without salary increases, the merit system then loses a lot of its impact. So just recognize that we have many, many budgetary considerations. So this is not an absolute, but just as we move forward and think about and talk about these things, it would play well to talk about how faculty, we're considering them, and that salary is an issue for us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that, Dr. Long. Greg, thank you. I would only offer that this committee met in special meeting on August 6th at 9 a.m., and at that meeting, we talked about the Home Student Center and Neptune complex redevelopment plans and also means of funding some of those portions of those plans. We received a long-term student housing plan and report, and we began the discussion, which we will continue today, on the FY16 budget. Now, I think the next thing for me to do is ask Mr. Blakemore if there's been any expression of interest for public comment.
There has not been, Mr. Chair, any requests.
Okay, seeing none, then we'll move to the university recommendations, and I will turn the floor over to Vice President Phillips. You may work through the letters of number 7.
Okay. Thank you, Chair Butler. Before we get started, first of all, I would like to make an introduction. We have today our new Associate Vice President for Facilities, John Heckman, is here. It's his first day here at the university. I'm hopeful we can get him here on a more permanent basis next week. He's moving in, and we'll close on a house this week, so that's really excellent. Just a little bit about John. He has 28 years of experience in facilities management, project management, acquisition management, safety, utilities, energy management, and working with the federal government in a variety of jobs. He's worked in various locations around the world, to include Guam, Japan. He has a Bachelor's of Science degree in physics. I noticed he was paying very close attention this morning when we were talking about all of that was going on in the physics department. He perked right up. He also has a master's in construction management from the University of Washington. He spent some time at Duke University in the Fuqua School of Business. He is also a professional engineer, and we're very fortunate to have him, and we're excited about him coming here and joining the NIU family. So, thank you.
You're welcome.
With that, we will move on to item 7A, the fiscal year 2016 internal budget. As you know, each year the university seeks the board's approval of the internal budget for the current year. In most years, we have our appropriation by early June, but as a result of the state's current financial situation, I think we're well aware of, the state has not yet provided the university an appropriation for FY16. This year, our approach has been to expand our engagement with campus communities, solicit input more broadly. This has enabled us to make more well-informed, critical, and difficult decisions regarding the internal budget, as we are facing declining revenue resulting from reduced state appropriation and continued enrollment shortfalls. We are in the process of continuing to finalize the expenditure budget recommendation we will bring to the board at the full meeting in September. And once the university has received a final appropriation from the state, we will bring a final revised internal budget recommendation to the board for approval. We are reducing numbers that we're using. Our assumption for the budget recommendations are for the state appropriation amount. We use the $63 million governor's budget level, as the General Assembly budget was not valid as it was vetoed by the governor. That's basically a $30 million reduction in funding from fiscal year 15. The tuition and fees generated that we're using in our model, we use conservative measures for enrollment, retention, credit hour production, waivers based on the best information and most current information we have available. All other areas were determined by looking at FY15 actuals and accounting for any known trends or program changes. We are trying to be as conservative as possible, understanding that even at this point in time, we still do not have any firm numbers for our budget. Our recommendation is for a budget, internal budget, of $388 million $13,100, which is basically a reduction of $36.4 million from our approved budget from last year, which takes into account the governor's budget and our expected loss in revenue from enrollment. So pursuant to the Board of Trustees bylaws, we request the Board of Trustees approve the FY16 internal budget as outlined in Table 1, and we will be coming back to the board at a later date once we have the final revenue numbers from the state.
Thank you, Dr. Phillips. Trustees, committee members, any questions regarding the FY16 internal budget? Let the record show that Trustee Chavez is here. Welcome. So we had a substantial discussion on this item. For those of you who just joined us for this meeting earlier in the Legislative Audit and Research and Innovation Committee, Mike Mann provided a significant review of the proposals in Springfield, both what we were first allocated for FY15, then the revised appropriation as a result of House Bill 317, the proposed budget amount by the governor, which is what we're using today, the General Assembly's proposed budget amount of $85,171,700, which is not a fixed number. There's no reason to rely on that because that piece of legislation was vetoed, and the veto was not overturned. So what we have in front of us is an 8.5% reduction in the revenue that we anticipate for FY16. I believe that's the most significant percentage reduction that I've seen since I've been on the board, and I'm sure since most of the members of the board have been on the board. With that grim news, before we take a vote to approve this, is there any other questions, comments? Seeing none, all those in favor.
I move to approve.
There's a motion to approve, I'm sorry.
Second.
There's a second. There's no more discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the FY16 internal budget is approved.
Item 7B, we don't have a budget yet for FY16, but we have a requirement to put together our FY17 budget request that will go to the Board of Higher Ed as we are already starting to work on our FY17 budget. This year, during the budget process, a number of significant events and issues will play a major factor in the outcome of the final budget for FY17. We anticipate that the budget session or the legislative session will likely focus on the tax increase issue and possible actions on the current year budget. depending on the outcome of legislative debate later this fall, taxes, pensions, and budget issues are the topics likely to dominate the spring session. For FY16, our budget request to the Board of Higher Ed was $105,250,000. This was based off the FY15 appropriated budget of $93.1 million, plus a request for increases for salaries, utilities, library, technology expenditures, program priority requests, deferred maintenance, and general cost increases. However, because of the lifting of the tax increase midway through the year, we ended up actually receiving roughly $2.1 million less. So the actual, we requested $105 million. Last year, we received about $91 million. For FY16, or for 17, given the fact that we still don't know where our FY16 budget is, we're going to use the last known number, which was our budget for FY15. So our request reflects the $91.1 million request, which was consistent with what we received for FY15, not really having any idea of what the budget's going to look like for 17. We've gone back to the Board of Higher Ed for guidance. They're not very helpful because they don't know either. So that's a number that we can explain and where it came from and how we got there. And so for FY17, we're recommending that we go with a $91.1 million budget recommendation. So to develop the FY17 budget request, we recommend the Board of Trustees approve the budget request of $91.1 million, or $91,092,700. In addition, due to the uncertainty surrounding the final state budget for FY16, which may result in extensions of deadlines for the FY17 budget submission, we recommend the Board authorize the President to make appropriate adjustments to these FY17 request guidelines.
Okay, there's a motion. There's a second. Are there questions, and is there discussion from the committee members? Trustee Coleman.
So, Alan, I do have a question. Why would we make the assumption that $91 million is the right way to go versus the governor's number of $63 million? Are we trying to send a message to the governor? Are we trying to send a message to others that we believe this is the right level of funding? I'm assuming we believe that's the right level of funding, but realistically, do we think we could see another $30+ million of additional funding?
One of the issues we're going to be facing is the pension issue. We've already heard discussions and talk about transferring the pension cost to K-12 and higher education. If they transfer the entire amount of those costs to NIU, that's an additional $25 million in costs for which we do not have any offsetting revenue, so that's the equivalent of another cut. Putting on my Board of Higher Ed hat, when I was at the Board of Higher Ed, all the universities make recommendations based on what their needs and requirements are, understanding that that's not what they're likely to receive. And we would thank them very kindly, and then we would say, okay, we're going to recommend that level funding because we understand very well the political aspect of this and justifying those numbers. At this point, because we don't have any idea what our 16 budget is going to be, much less our 17, if someone asks us where we got that number, we have a number that we can go to that we can explain. It would be very difficult to explain any assumptions or why is it this much less. You also don't want to ask for too little, or they'll say, well, we'll give you that. So this way we're being, it's a balancing act. We're being realistic, but we don't want to put cuts on the table before they're given to us, because if you do that, they'll be happy to help you out with those and they'll give you those cuts. So.
Point of clarification. 2050 is 91 million, or 92.
Mm-hmm.
And 2016 is the 63,836.
That's based on the governor's.
Right, I understand that. No, I thought I heard 91 on the, I was dreaming. I thought it was 2016.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw the wrong number here. No, I understand.
It is hard to believe.
It's very hard to believe. Anyway, that's okay.
But to answer your question, it's a number we can explain. Right now, I'm not sure it has a whole lot of meaning. No one expects it to, but I can explain how we got to that number in the discussions.
So you talked about actual needs. Are we understating some of our actual needs on top of maybe potential expenses that we think are coming our way?
Absolutely. As we talked about this morning, our state funding's been declining substantially over time. The problem you have, though, is having had the wonderful opportunity to testify before the Appropriations Committee, you have to be very careful that you don't ask for too much, because then you will be chastised because don't you understand the situation we're in. So it's a very fine balancing act about asking for enough but not asking for more than would be considered appropriate. Even though we expect our revenue to be less than 91, it's a reasonable number that we can argue, we can make the case. That number will change probably once we determine what our FY16 number is going to be. But
right.
We were required to submit the recommendation for 17, regardless of whether or not we even know what we're doing for 16. And And when we call the Board of Higher Ed, they really don't know what to tell us because they don't know how to deal with this either.
Thank you.
Other questions, comments by the committee members? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the motion passes.
Item 7C, fiscal year 2017 appropriated capital budget request. This is similar to the operating budget request, except it's for capital, and this request goes to the Board of Higher Ed. We prepare it in the fall prior to the budget year to meet IBHE guidelines. It consists of projects, new projects, and capital renewal projects where basically repair and maintenance. Unfortunately, we've not received any funding for either of these for the last several years. We do not anticipate probably receiving funding for the foreseeable future. But our priorities are the Computer Science Health Information Technology Center is a new building, Davis Hall renovations, and our number three project would be academic building, HVAC, and window replacements. Capital renewal projects, number one would be main steam tunnel rehabilitation, general revenue chiller tie-in phase eight, phase three electrical infrastructure, Monsanto roof replacement, and McMurray Hall lecture room roof replacement. The university requests the Board of Trustees approve the fiscal year 2017 capital budget request. It will then be submitted to the Illinois Board of Higher Education for consideration and inclusion in the statewide fiscal year 2017 capital budget recommendation.
There's a motion. There's a second.
Second.
Is there discussion of the item? Trustee Muir?
Yes. I'm really concerned about one of the areas that we always address in these budget constraints is deferred maintenance. And when I look on page 30 and look at the unfunded, and we're talking about chillers and electricity and roofs. And we say it at these meetings, it's illogical and reasonable and rational, and they're not funded, therefore. But when do we hit that peak? When do we hit that peak on the deterioration of infrastructure to the point where it's greatly significant? And when I'm just trying to get a perspective, Alan, in terms of things like electrical infrastructure, elevators, steam tunnel chillers. Deferred maintenance is really, maintenance is important, and continuing to defer it is going to look to a significant deterioration and loss of asset.
We are in the process of developing a capital renewal plan. That would incorporate a variety of different sources of funds based on what we need to fix the most. Even though we have this plan that we submit to the Board of Higher Ed, that doesn't mean we're not going to fix those things until we get state money. In many cases, we are required to use operating funds or, in some cases, reserve funds, which in all fairness are for those purposes. In some cases, we've used Build America bonds. We use performance contracts. There are different ways to do this. But we're trying to put together in a more holistic way a list in terms of priorities and what we need to fix next because you have to maintain the facilities. You have to fix the roofs or they leak, and then the
right.
damage they do is 10 times.
Right. Exactly.
So we are
exactly
in the process. So even though it says these, it would be wonderful if the state gave us money. I don't expect the state to give us any money, but we're going to have our own plan and use our resources.
Prioritize.
We're going to prioritize and use scarce resources in the best possible way to address those issues. So we are in the process of doing a capital development plan. We're going to do a capital renewal plan. And I always talk about it this way, if I have enough money to do one project, which project would it be? I can only do one. And so we're going to come up with that list, and then we can start to identify funding and timelines and budget for these things so we can take care of these maybe in a much better way.
what makes me feel just this little bit better.
Once again, these are the things that keep me awake at night.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Questions, other comments from the committee members? All right, we're voting to recommend to the board for approval the fiscal year 2017 appropriated capital budget request. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the motion passes.
agenda item 7D, the non-appropriate or fiscal year FY17 non-appropriated capital budget. The non-appropriated capital budget is developed from requests submitted by department heads and physical plant and facility users. Requests are prioritized and presented for approval and include improvements to existing facilities, systems, building expansions, infrastructure, site, roadway, utility improvements. The university recommends Board of Trustees approve the fiscal year 2017 non-appropriated capital budget as outlined in the table with the descriptions. These projects are either funded through operating funds or reserve bond repair and replacement reserves.
Is there a motion?
I move to approve the recommendation.
Is there a second? Second? There's a second. Is there any discussion questions on these items? I have one question. The new hall dish room, I guess that struck me as odd since new hall was just built. Can you comment on that?
The good news is it is such a popular place for all of our students to eat that they are doing four times the meals that were initially planned for the building. They've outgrown everything just like that. So the idea is to improve their ability to rebound from breakfast to lunch to dinner by having a better dishwashing system. I think the numbers are four times what they had planned for dinners and lunches and breakfasts. Part of that issue is the Grant Center Core was never renovated, and so that dining hall is offline mm-hmm. and not in service.
Okay. So. Other questions about these items? I think we've brought up before. Trustee Coleman?
The budget total, how does this compare to the prior year? Is this the same amount of money?
I think last year was around $5 million. I think this is about $3 million. It's what we can afford. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
And we do have the funds. These come from, by and large, our reserve funds that are for these purposes. But we it also allows us to maintain sufficient reserves in case that we need them for other purposes in the future.
All right.
So this is a real budget.
This is real money.
This is real money that's going to be spent in the way in which it's being conveyed here. So in the past, we've talked about the recreation center locker room renovations. So the conclusion has been that these are worthwhile projects worthy of this level of priority. Does that foreclose the question of a larger renovation of some kind?
No, if there were any additional projects, we would bring them back to the board, but they would be brought back separately. What you see here are a lot of parking lots, which obviously suffer a lot of wear and tear. Things such as rotational painting, which helps protect the facilities, and we try to do that throughout campus. These are, in most cases, basic maintenance kinds of projects.
Okay, I don't know if my question was answered, really, because I think I was asking whether or not has there been any alteration in the thinking about the recreation center? Generations of student trustees have come before this board with concerns about the spatial needs of the recreation center. This seems to respond to that by remodeling these locker rooms. Will this expand the capacity?
I think it just brings them up to a higher standard and improve the conditions in those facilities. It doesn't expand. It's a renovation of the existing facilities.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Other questions? Anything from the committee? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the motion passes.
Agenda item 7E, investment and cash management policy. The current investment and cash management policy was approved by the board on June 25th, 2009. Since then, we have pursued investment strategies in accordance with this policy. And the allowable investments per this policy essentially mirror those specified in state statute. So we follow the state statute very closely. In general terms, these investments include instruments issued by the U.S. government, federal agencies, high-grade commercial paper, bank deposits, investment pools created under the State Treasurer's Act, and selected money market mutual funds. The investment committee has revised the investment and cash management policy to include current position titles, some of which had changed, arbitrage rebate calculation, and a section on fund depositories to accommodate some of our departments who keep money in accounts not in DeKalb.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve this?
I move to approve the restated investment and cash management policy contained in the written materials.
All right, there's a motion and a second. Is there any discussion, questions about this policy? I would only ask, is this an action item because there have been changes to it, or do we approve this annually?
No, it's only because there have been changes to the policy.
All right. Any other questions, concerns? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the motion's approved.
Item 7F, Department of Psychology subcontract amendment. Department of Psychology received a grant from the University of Illinois Chicago for a project titled Reading for Understanding across grades 6 to 12. Evidence-based argumentation for disciplinary learning. A subcontract was issued to DePaul for work on the project. The grant has been extended for an additional year. The funding has been rebudgeted to allow for an extension of this subcontract to include additional services for the period through June 30th, 2016. Original approval for this was given on September 15th, 2011. The university requests the Board of Trustees approve the expenditure authority for FY16 as follows to DePaul University. The original amount was $265,200. The amendment adds another $28,116 to that amount for a new total amount of $293,316.
Is there a motion to approve this?
So moved.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Is there any discussion? Trustee Muir.
Just a question. So this amount is on the subcontract to DePaul. Do you know what the original grant was to NIU? What the amount was?
I think it was $265,200.
Oh, so it is a total pass-through to DePaul.
To us.
Is that correct?
No.
To us.
Hmm?
Am I understanding?
It would not be a total pass-through. I don't know the details, but it would not be a total pass-through.
Okay.
Let's at least get the direction straight. This is going to DePaul.
I apologize that Dr. Blasey isn't here and I don't have all the details, but when our investigators submit grants to federal and state agencies, they often collaborate with investigators at other universities, either within the state of Illinois or elsewhere, because of specific expertise that allows the grant to be presented in the best possible way to the external agency. In this case, Dr. Britt, who is the NIU investigator, has a colleague at DePaul with specific expertise that advantages the grant in review and in execution. prosecution and the amount of money going to DePaul to support the work of that particular investigator at DePaul or the unit at DePaul that's supporting the grant was originally $265,000 with a no-cost extension and some rebudgeting of the grant. Clearly, there's a slight increase, and because of the threshold for approval, it's coming back to you. So the original grant would have been larger. It was given in 11, so it's a five-year grant, so I'm assuming it was probably annually around $250,000 to $300,000, but I'm guessing that. We would have to check the original, but this is just reflecting, I assume, a rebudget of a no-cost extension to allow DePaul to execute their portion of the grant.
Right. I'm not, my issue has nothing to do with what's being put before us, and certainly, I certainly support paying our bills, and if that's our obligation, that is not an issue whatsoever. It was more of a curiosity to know, generally speaking, I can appreciate collaboration, but just really wondered what is the proportional ratio of collaboration, and I didn't know if that was an entire pass-through. Is this the entire grant that's passing through to DePaul? Or would that be highly unusual that we would do that?
We would not do that, nor would DePaul be party to that because of the subcontracting indirect costs. It would be inappropriate and it would result in less money. So I'm assuming that this was probably not a majority of the grant, probably looking at it somewhere between 25% or less of the grant, but that's a ballpark guess just based on, you know, experience. So
it's commendable to collaborate. My question, again, more for curiosity and related to other committees, is how do we usually do that in terms of collaboration, the expectation of the proportional distribution to a collaborator? And this just piqued my interest.
Oh, absolutely. Not everyone in the room is as knowledgeable as Trustee Muir is about research, so I probably added a little more background than I needed to address your question directly.
That's good. But I think this is fine.
Yeah. I had the same question. I wrote total amount question mark on my page as well. And I would note also that Dr. Ann Britt is a presidential research professor who we learned earlier in the day was granted that distinction as well. I enjoyed having a chance to talk with her about her research at the President's House recently in relation to the presentation of that award. Are there any other questions? Yes,
I've got a comment, and maybe it's a question too, but and I'm a little concerned that we are approving additional expenditures, not knowing what our budget is going to be for fiscal year 16. I don't know, it's only $28,000, but then the question would be, is this a priority in light of the fact that we don't know our shortfall for the year?
Typically, with regarding grant funds and bond funds and auxiliaries, those generally aren't part of the equation because those are coming from other sources. With grants, it comes either from federal, state, other entities. And it's for a specific project, we spend it. So that's not something we could cut even if we wanted to. So for that type of fund, this would not be an issue.
Okay. And are you saying that, you know, our normal budget non-grant funds don't go towards any of this expenditure?
For this, no. This is specifically grant
All right.
funding.
All right.
Other questions from the committee? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, the motion passes. The remainder of the report are information items which the committee has had access to for a bit of time. Do any committee members have any questions or interest to talk about any of those matters? Seeing no interest, then we'll let this information sit with us, and we may use it as we wish to guide our decisions and so forth. So are there... Yes, sir. Trustee Coleman.
When we look at discretionary waivers and mandatory waivers, I think what would be helpful is to get a better understanding of our the the trend that we have with the waivers. I look at these numbers. I don't know if this is a flat amount or it's a 100% increase than the prior year, right? And so it puts us at somewhat of a disadvantage when we're looking at these numbers, not knowing the trend associated. I don't know if this is as a downward trend, upward trend, or a flat trend here. And I know every waiver, I'm assuming that these are all valid waivers and they're for a good cause. But when we sit back and think about our fiscal year and the tough decisions that may be in front of us, it's helpful to get an understanding of where this is trending and if we have taken any actions to kind of tighten our belt associated with some of these waivers to limit our costs.
About half of these waivers actually for research or teaching assistance. And then another large portion of them, approximately $3 million, are for the veterans grants for which we are not being reimbursed by the state. I would have to go back and check, but that's probably fairly consistent with previous years. But most of these waivers actually go to grad assistants and research assistants. Well,
I get it. So, and it's for valid reasons, I understand. So what happens if we've got to find another $38 million? I'm assuming we all need to find a way to say, how do we take the cost curve down? And this may be an avenue. I'm assuming that we're going to vote on this in the September meeting.
This is just regular information report.
Would it be satisfactory, Trustee Coleman, if we asked for the information to be produced for that meeting?
Yeah, I think it would be great to see a trend. You know, where are these waivers going, and is it up or down?
I think sure. That's reasonable. So, Trustee Coleman's asked to see more than the fiscal year that's presented here. Whatever makes sense.
Okay.
Maybe
we're happy to do that.
Go back as far as you need to make the data work in some way that's useful. I do note that the high numbers relate to the unfunded, the mandatory waivers, but these aren't all unfunded, right?
Just the top.
All the top are unfunded?
No, typically it's the veterans grant scholarships are not funded.
Okay, and then in the discretionary waivers, we've got the academic waivers, the talent waivers, and then the research and the teaching assistantship waivers are significant, but we also have the waivers that have been provided to faculty, civil service, and others who've taken advantage of
right.
the benefit
Correct.
That we offer, and that's a policy of the university which we honor through this waiver system, and there's also a state-level policy, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Correct, okay. And we've heard today from a UAC rep how important those are. So you'll meet the interests of Trustee Coleman. Are there other questions or interests from the committee? Sure.
You know, I brought this up before, and I still have confusion over the veterans line item, which is, I think, did I just see $3 million?
Correct.
So that's 10% of the differential of that $30 million that we're talking about. And it's my understanding that we are not allowed to tap into the GI Bill. Is that correct? And I don't want to get too far in the weeds, Alan, but I'm wondering as we, and I look to the president, you know, as we continue to challenge the state, in terms of mandates that they have had in the past and the bureaucracy of the past and the restrictions of the past, it's my understanding that as a state institution here in Illinois, we are not allowed to ask for the GI Bill, which is a federal program. That may be something, again, we should put on the table because that's money that's another $3 million. That's a large amount of money, $3 million. That there is federal money available but for whatever reason, Illinois has not allowed us to participate in. And so I do want to bring that up again. And I think, and I said to President Baker, you know, things that we had discussed 12 months ago that were completely off the table of consideration, or 24 months or 36 months, I think in this climate can be put back on the table. And especially things that are rational and reasonable and pragmatic, where we have monies that could be tapped, but for whatever reason we're not allowed to. So I'd like us to at least look at that again and revisit it and maybe get a little more clarity on that issue.
Actually, last Monday, I was in Champaign with three of my counterparts. We were testifying before the Lieutenant Governor's Commission on Unfunded Mandates. We spent about 2 hours with the committee. We covered everything from veterans grants to procurement rules and requirements to property accountability, where we are literally having to count everything under $100, which is hundreds of thousands of items, which doesn't make sense. We spent about 2 hours with them, and the veterans grants was one of the issues that we addressed. I think one of the, in conjunction with all the budget issues and challenges, they're also trying to look at ways to make the state function more efficiently and effectively. We've also received requests from the Governor's Office of Management and Budget. They have a budgeting for results initiative that actually I think Governor Quinn started and Senator Gutowski. They have come back and said, as a part of this, we also want to know what things we need to take a look at that either we need to eliminate or don't work as they were intended to work. And so there, at least on some level, is an effort within the state government to try to address some of these issues and problems. We testified on Monday that we're doing it. We understand that we're very expensive and we have difficulty competing with our surrounding states, but that frequently we're trying to hold costs down, but it seems like every time you turn around, there's another report, there's another requirement, there's another policy, which seems to increasingly make it more difficult for us to move things in the direction they need to go. So at least they're, I'm not sure where it's going to go, but at least it's being discussed.
I need a little clarification here. The report that's in front of us, this is retrospect, right? So we spent $32 million on tuition waiver for the fiscal year 15. So I want to get better clarity of what's our projected spend for 16, right?
I would probably say fairly consistent.
Okay.
The other factor to take into consideration is our enrollment's down, and that would certainly impact the number of waivers that we provide. So some, like the veterans grants, are always going to be probably higher than others. But as the number of staff and faculty decline, as the number of students decline, hopefully that'll turn back around. But I would also anticipate this would remain relatively flat.
And so when we set the 16 budget, we look and we pick a number and to determine what's going to be our 16. And so in light of, once again, in light of our tight fiscal year, the question would be, what's our plan for 16? Do we plan to keep this flat line, or?
Everything's on the table for FY16. Okay. We've had a lot of lengthy discussions, in some cases difficult discussions. So far, we have reduced our expenditures for FY16 by over $20 million. That's real dollars, to help us get our costs down under our revenue and to try to address the reductions in state funding. So we are continuing to have those discussions. We're not yet quite where we'd like to be, but with the exception of the state mandates where we have no choice, pretty much everything's on the table to include waivers, scholarships, everything.
Good, thank you.
All right, committee members, are there any other questions about the information items? If there are not, then I'll ask, are there other matters to come before this committee? Seeing that there are no other matters, the next meeting of this committee is November 12, 2015, on the NIU campus in DeKalb. May I have a motion to adjourn? There's a motion. Is there a second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the meeting's adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Absolutely. The question has been raised, are the members of the committee still going to tour Neptune? I'm fine doing that as well.
Are we still going over to Neptune?
Was there a Neptune tour?